Okay, so like I said, we are going to be getting into chapter 1, verses 5 through 21. That's the remainder of the chapter. We'll see if we get through it this morning. But as we get into the book of 2 Peter, you know, there's a couple things that we talked about last time that we remember. This is a book that would have been written, a letter that would have been written after 1 Peter. What we looked at is the fact that evidence within the letter seems to suggest that it's written to the same people that he wrote to in the first letter. That first letter dealing with the fact that you're going to go through struggles and trials in this life for doing the will of God. That's what he's pointing out. You're standing for truth, and as a result of that, you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through persecutions. But there's a hope in the end. This letter, dealing with, maybe a little bit more as we get into it, the idea of wanting to grow in that faith, grow in that knowledge as we see. But in particular, when we get into chapter 2, we're going to see him dealing with false teachers. So it's a letter primarily written about that, the encouragement to grow. And one of the main reasons for that is because as we get into chapter 2, there are these false teachers that are present among you. And in order to know what is false doctrine, you need to know what the doctrine is. And that really kind of sets up what he's talking about here in the first part of the letter. So with that, let's go ahead and read verses 5 through 11. Let's read verses 5 through 11, and then we can answer question 1. Does anybody want to read those verses for me? DJ? Okay, very good. All right, so let's look at question 1. We are to give all diligence to what? What do we give all diligence to? Larry?
The list that was just given.
Okay, very good. The list that was just given. You're to give all diligence to add to your faith and to add your faith, virtue, knowledge, to add these various things to your faith. Why is that? Why does he point that out? And he kind of goes on to say it at the end, which we are definitely going to get to, but why is that? Very good. We want these qualities to increase. We want them to abound. Okay? Anybody got anything else?
It takes work.
Okay, very good. It's definitely going to take work to add these things. And so we need to be diligent in doing that. It's not something that just happens, if you will. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes study. Yeah, that's right. It's not just a one-time thing, and it's definitely not a, hey, I got it, and then I got it for all time, right? I got to continue to work at that. You know, it's one of the things that I remember talking in a men's class. Oh, man, it's been a bit now. Well, I say a bit, a couple months ago. But discussing that with some men that were older. I'm not going to name any names, Harry. But pointing out the fact that, you know, whenever he was younger, he thought that he had one aspect of things figured out. Right? Might be self-control, okay? I've learned to control myself in this regard. But then as you get older, there are things that you didn't deal with when you were younger, but that you've got to deal with now that you're older, and so you've got to continue to grow in self-control. And you got to continue to make that application. It's not like you have it, and then you have it for all time. And so that's just one aspect or one point no longer from that saying. You need to continue to do these things. It's not just, hey, I got it. It's not a check mark list, if you will. Got it. Move on. Next one. Got it. It's not the idea that we see here. Very good. Anything else? So as we go through here, we noticed a couple things. Let's kind of start off with this, but for this reason. Now, he starts off with this in verse 5, but also for this very reason. What's that meaning that he's doing? For what reason? The reasons he just listed in 1 through 4, right? The listens he just previously listed, I think in particular, in 3 through 4. Well, we noticed the things we talked about last time, but also for this very reason, what reasons? The fact that knowledge has given us His Word. He has revealed His message to us through His Spirit. We talked about that a little bit last time. And the fact that we recognize that there are exceedingly great and precious promises. And that if we grow in that knowledge, we grow and come to that understanding that He has revealed all things that pertain to life and godliness in verse 3. And so that we can become those who can be partakers of those great and precious promises and be partakers of His divine nature, having escaped from the corruption of this world. For these reasons, what do you need to do? God's given us that opportunity through His revealed message, through His revealed word, that if we grow in that knowledge and make that proper application to our life, that we can become and be those who are His children, that we can become those who have that hope and that reward of heaven. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to be those who grow our faith. We need to be those who, because of the fact that God's given us that ability through His revelation, we need to be those who work diligently to add those things. This is encouragement to grow one's faith and knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we notice something we pointed out last time. The faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. So we are to give all diligence to add to our faith these various things. Now, he does go through and list them out. Add to your faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Somebody teach in this class to go through each one of these and what each of them mean or anything like that. I don't think that this is necessarily a tell-all list of absolutely, you do this and you got absolutely everything figured out. The point is, these are the different things that you should see being attributed to your life as you grow in that knowledge of God's Word. And it's not necessarily you do this and then once you do that, this one logically follows. I've heard some people say that. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that this is a list of items or various things that as you apply the Word of God, the knowledge of God, and that's what we talked about last time, where he starts off there in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Whenever he talks about knowledge and that word knowledge, that is not just a simple hey, I understand what it means. It's not just an educational knowledge, if you will, that I can state it, but that you've actually taken it and made the application to your life. Whenever you do that, these things are going to abound. So that gets us over into verse 8. The fact that growing our faith is vital to making our call and election sure. This is what we see in verse 11. And this is the point to the question. What are we to be diligent to do? We're to be diligent to add to our faith. We're to be diligent to grow. We can't just stay in one place. And there's a reason for that. And he gives a reason for that. Because we need to be those who make our call and election sure. Starts off in verse 8 talking about by adding these things, one will come to the knowledge that is in Jesus. He says in verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to grow in that knowledge. Adding these things is going to be an aspect of growing in that knowledge. These things are going to be added to us, to our faith, and to our life. And so we want to add these things. And whenever we do, we're going to be those who are neither barren nor unfruitful. And this kind of goes to the point that Harry talked about this morning. In order to be able to add these things and to be able to make application of God's Word, what do we have to have? Okay, yeah, we have to have that knowledge. In order for that knowledge to be that which the proper application is made to our life, what do I got to remove from my own life? My will, right? I have to have that right heart. And that was one of the points that Harry was making this morning in his lesson. I looked over in Matthew 13:22 in Matthew's account, and that's kind of the idea that we see there as far as wanting to make sure, wanting to make sure that we are those who are fruitful in the knowledge. He says in verse 22, whenever Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower, and he gets to the seed that fell in the thorny ground, he says in verse 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So we take that, we make that application. You want to be that grows in the knowledge, that makes the proper application of God's Word, that has these various qualities that we see here, or character traits that we see here, abound in your life. What do I need to make sure that I have? A right heart. If I don't have the right heart to receive the word, then that word at some point in time might be at the very beginning, might not even get started in the growth, but it might get started getting growing and then be choked out. And so you got to have that right heart to start. But whenever you do, you have that right heart that's going to take that word and make and let it grow and make that application in your life, you are going to be one who is fruitful, one who is abounding. Now, one of the things that I do believe we need to stop right here and just point out, in what way am I going to be fruitful? In what way am I going to be abounding? David? So I'm going to be that one that whenever I make that application in my life, I'm definitely going to see me going out and doing that work. What is that thing that he says that we are going to be neither unfruitful nor barren in? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. That right there, that's the idea and the point he's making. You want to grow in that knowledge that he has freely given to all through his revealed message. You want to grow in it. What do I need to do? I need to be one who has that right heart. And then that's what I'm going to be fruitful in. That's what I am going to be able to grow in. It's definitely not a point that necessarily you're going to be prospering physically or anything like that. It's not talking about that type of thing. What he's pointing to is the fact that you are going to be growing in this knowledge. And again, I believe one of the things that he's doing throughout chapter 1 is stating a case and laying groundwork to then be able to talk about false teachers in chapter 2. And so one of the things that he's doing is, what do you need to do in order to know a false teacher when you see him and to be able to stand against him? What you need to do is you need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe that's one of the things that we see him laying out here. You want to be one who's fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? You want to be one who isn't barren? You need to be one who has that right heart, as we see here, and diligently seeking these things. So you got to have that right heart that we saw Harry talk about this morning. But it goes back to DJ's point. You got to be a worker. In other words, it's not just going to happen. You got to be diligently seeking those things. And if you pair those things together, have the right heart and are diligently seeking the scripture, what's going to happen? That knowledge is going to start to abound. You're going to see it start to abound in your understanding of scripture as a whole and then in the application in your life. It's going to change you. Okay? That, again, goes to the point, some of what Harry was talking about this morning. Anything through verse 8? Noah?
One of the things that struck me as we were talking about this is that the list of virtues that he lists here, you can almost break them down into two separate categories, where the first, I think it's about four, where you have faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, and I think it goes into the steadfastness. These you can kind of characterize past as individual traits that I have faith, and I'm going to have virtue that comes with that, and I'm going to control myself and all these things. But as it says, God moves into godliness, brotherly affection, and love, or perhaps that's the outgrowth of those characteristics toward others. And if we think about how can we abound and be better and more fruitful, well, how are we impacting others? Are we spreading the gospel, not just in how I live here,
and whenever you grow in these various things, it's not just going to impact one aspect of your life, but as you grow in the knowledge, there is multiple things that are going to start to change. And no doubt, as you grow in an understanding and grow in knowledge of God's Word, it's going to cause you to be living your life more properly. Your conduct's going to be honorable among men. Potentially might be that one who is out teaching and preaching God's Word, being a worker, David was saying earlier. Anything else? All right, we get to verse 9 then. So, we're going to add these things. So that way we're not barren. We're not unfruitful. We're those who are growing, because that's one of the things that we want to do as Christians, is definitely be growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, so if you add these things, you are going to be barren And you're not going to be barren or unfruitful. But if you are one who doesn't add these things, verse 9, then there's a problem. He says in verse 9, for he who lacks these things, in other words, he's not adding them, he isn't working towards them, he isn't diligent in them, he is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So he gives the aspect of the fact that, hey, you want to grow in these things, so that way you grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, by the way, it's something that's not good, because if you don't, then you're one who is short-sighted, and you forget that you are cleansed from your old sins. If I understand that idea of short-sightedness that is there, and even the blindness and the words that are used, the terminology from the Greek, it's the fact that somebody can't see what is right in front of them, right? Maybe there's smoke around them or something to that effect, that nature. They can't see past what's right in front of them. They're blinded. They can't see very far is the point. And whenever you start to make the application of adding these various things, and the one who doesn't is short-sighted, I believe one of the things that's being pointed out is the one who's short-sighted is that one who doesn't have that heavenly eternal focus in their life. And so what are they doing? They're being blinded or short-sighted by the cares of this world. There's smoke, if you will, or things in their way. They can't see the end goal, and so they stay right here. They're blinded and don't see past this. It appears to be pointing to the fact of being blinded potentially by the things of this life. And so they're ones that aren't adding these things because they don't have their focus on heaven. I believe we talked about that a couple class periods ago when we were at the end of 1 Peter chapter 5, Tyler bringing out that point that if you have your focus on heaven and your goal is heaven and your focus is on obtaining that reward, that a lot of the other things fall into place. There's a lot of temptations that might not be as strong because of your clarity on that goal. This is an individual right here who doesn't have clarity in that goal. And so what's going on with that individual? Well, they're not adding these things because they're not looking to grow their faith and they're not looking to grow their knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's interesting how he concludes that. Not only are you short-sighted even to blindness, but you forget that you were cleansed from your sins. You know, you're short-sighted, you're not adding these things, and one of the things you forget is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that all Scripture completes man. You want to be one who becomes complete, you want to become one who is pleasing to God and all those types of things. Scripture is the one that gives you that ability, and meaning coming to the understanding of it and making the application to your life. And if you're one that's not growing in Scripture, then you forget that point. But not only that, you're also one who forgets the fact that you were cleansed of your sins. And this goes to Romans 6, I believe, which Harry talked about this morning. You forget the fact that you were cleansed from your sins, and in that cleansing, what happened? Well, when we were baptized, we were those who rose as the new man to walk in newness of life. We're now a new creature. And not only are we new creature, and were we raised a new creature, but one of the main points that I believe is being pointed out is the fact that you are no longer in bondage to sin. So when you were baptized, you were no longer in bondage to sin, and you were raised to serve a new master. And so whenever you are short-sighted and you are blinded by whatever it might be that's causing you to be blind or short-sighted, your focus isn't on spiritual things, it isn't in heaven, you forget who your master is. Your master is no longer sin. Your master is now righteousness, and you're no longer serving him. You forget the fact that you were in bondage to sin, and it was through being obedient to that master and coming out of that you were freed from sin. Now, again, that's not free to do whatever you want, continue to sin. That's one of the things Harry pointed out this morning that Romans 6 points out. Certainly not. We're not to do that. We are now to serve our new master. So the one who does not grow their faith, that's the point we're getting to, the one that does not grow their faith is one who is short-sighted and forgot what was done for them and the new master that they are now serving, and forgets the word, and forgets the benefit that is there in it. Aaron?
I think we have a cliche that we use sometimes. We can't see the forest for the trees. And the idea there is perspective. And I think this is a good reminder of that perspective, that when we get into and we allow the world to come around us, we allow our perspective then to drift. And have said we are going to be in Christ. We are to be in Christ. We are to put on these things, and our fruits will show. And so I appreciate so far the reminders that we've heard, both in worship and now in Bible class, of that need to remember what we've committed to and our perspective needs to be in Christ Jesus.
That's right. That's where our perspective needs to be. You know, you remember back whenever Paul was talking about the fact in his letter to the brethren at Philippi, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, there in chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Just prior to that, he was talking about his old life. And that was one of the things that he did. He left that behind and didn't let that slow him down, drag him down, cloud his vision, and he had it set on the goal of heaven. We can let that happen to us from time to time. We can let our old life come back and creep into play. We're not to do that. We're to let that go whenever we have repented of those things, believe and trust that God is faithful and will forgive you of that, and then obtain to heaven and don't let anything else get in your way. We need to keep that focus there. We're not to be those who are short-sighted. And whenever we do keep our focus there, what are we going to do? It should draw us to this growing in this knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he points out the fact that we're to grow in these things. If you don't, there is definite trouble for you, right? And he goes on further to explain way that is in verses 10 through 11. Talks about the fact that by giving all diligence, he says in there in verse 10. So he lays all that out and just got done laying out what he did in verse 9 about one who isn't growing and who is not one who is being diligent in his growth. See there in verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By giving diligence to growing your faith, your entrance into heaven can be sure. Okay? So what we see here is this. What we see here is that we can have assurance and confidence of our salvation, but we can also lose our salvation. Right? It's one of the things that I believe is pointed out here that we can go and point out. The fact that you can be assured of your salvation. You know, there's a lot of people out there that believe that how can I be sure of my salvation? Assurance is a thing that I can't have. Well, Scripture clearly points out the fact that you can be sure of your salvation. Points it out here, and he points it out in Hebrews 6. And I believe another thing that we see in Hebrews 6 is the flip side of that. You see here that you can lose your salvation. You can be one who was, as he is writing to brethren here, who was saved, but has been one that is no longer saved, one who has fallen, if you will. And I believe we see that in Hebrews chapter 6, 4 through 12. Points out the same type of ideas that we see here in Hebrews 6, 4 through 12. You see in verses 4 through 8 that those who were once enlightened can fall away to the point that it is impossible for them to be renewed again to repentance. But then in verses 9 through 12, we can have confidence if we do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith inherit faith and patience. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Okay, and so that's one of the things that we point out here. And we notice and we recognize that there are those with Calvinistic thoughts that go here and take this to mean something completely different, right? What are some of the things that they might take and make this mean? They take this section and they'll start making application and making it appear that, see, one of the things that Peter is pointing out here is the fact that we're never going to fail, you know, and all those types of things. We see throughout Scripture instances and cases where there were those, like I said, just looked at it from Hebrews 6, where those who were once faithful, who once knew the truth, but have fallen away. And I believe one of the reasons why he's pointing this out is because of this. He's going to, again, get into chapter 2 where he's talking about false teachers. One of the things that he's going to point out whenever we start talking about false teachers is these false teachers offer what appears to be hope. They offer what appears to be liberty, freedom, and hope, and all these types of things. But at the end of it, There is nothing. It's empty. There is no hope. And it's something that that doesn't provide any kind of rest. And so understand here from the start that you can lose where you are, your standing with God. You can also make your call and election sure, but you could potentially lose it. And he's pointing that out now. So whenever he gets over, starts talking about the false teachers, one of the things that they understand is we need to be weary of these false teachers because they're going to lead us down that path. Scott?
The assuring thing of that is that, you know, and you got to watch how you say it, but you have control over whether you're going to fall away or not. You know, I mean, yeah. You live the life that you're supposed to, the way you're supposed to, how you're supposed to, and you have assurance that you're going to go to heaven. But, you know, don't run or scare yourself. I mean, in studying and all that, but you have control over that. God made us free agents, you know, whether we want to serve Him or not. And that's the beauty of it all. We can accept His gift or not accept it, you know. And we have, I don't like saying, I don't want to at all mean full control. I'm just saying, you do right, you keep His commandments. You have the protection, you study, you're assured that.
You know, God, and you're exactly right. What we've noticed and what we recognize throughout Scripture is that God has given us, and that is kind of one of the points that we see throughout this, God has revealed His message to us, and He's given us His Son, that through which becoming to knowledge of that Word and being obedient to it, we can be the partakers of the things we talked about. There are exceedingly great promises that we can be partakers of. And that is up to each individual to become partakers of that. And it is something that's within our control, which is assured, because a Calvinist would start going down the path of it's an election that God made. It's an arbitrary election, if you will. And so you really can't do anything in of yourself. You're either saved or you're not saved. Well, I guess, I mean, you look here at 2 Peter chapter 1. If that is the case, then please tell me how this fits in with any of that. If I'm already told, if it's already decided I'm going to heaven, then why do I even need to make my call and election sure? Why do I need to be one who adds these things if it's already been decided whether I'm going to heaven or not, separate and apart from my obedience to it? Steve?
That word diligent, it means to be to have a carefulness and persistent effort of work. And I think that's where oftentimes I know it comes into my life that I haven't had that confidence. Well, it's because I wasn't given that careful and persistent effort of work and doing the things that I needed to toward God. So then you start being concerned about your salvation. I think that's where the biggest aren't getting that diligence. And, I mean, you know, Jesus even talked about broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but straight and narrow. It is restrictive and also more difficult. So you're not just going to stumble and bumble your way into heaven.
That's right.
It's going to take a diligence and an effort. It's not from anything that we've done. We didn't create the great salvation that our Father yep. and the Son of Jesus Christ did.
That's right. It's not, you know, whenever you start going down that path, some people are going to say, well, you're saying that you believe in work salvation. Absolutely not. I don't have any hope if it wasn't for God. If it wasn't for God sending His Son and His Son becoming the sacrifice for me. Nor do I have any hope if it wasn't for that message telling me so I can come to an understanding of what sin is and what I need to do to become in a right to come to a right relationship with God. What oftentimes you'll have end up happening whenever you're talking with those who lack assurance is that aspect of it. And that can happen. That can creep into our minds, you know. And if that's where one is, check in the mirror, if you will, right? Am I doing what I need to be doing to be the one who's working to add these things to make my call and my election sure? Okay, James, and then Larry, did you have, okay, James, Larry, and then Matt. Go ahead, James.
Well, Paul was trying to encourage the Corinthians in chapter 4, 7,
short-sighted and not looking for these things. They're veiling the gospel. They're not allowing themselves to see it in order to continue it. And that's what we as individual Christians have to do. We have to continually look at it. Don't allow it to get veiled at all. Just always keep it in front of you. Always move forward so that diligence stays with you no matter what. But you can cover it up easy.
That's right. It's real easy to cover it up and even want to set it off to the side, but it needs to be something that we are very diligent in. Very good. Larry?
Yeah, I would say this verse, particular section of verses has great usefulness. And if you had a Christian that says, well, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not, how do I get to heaven? Am I going to go the right way? You can start verse 11 and go backwards. So are you doing all these things? Are you growing and abounding? Do you have them? Are you continuing to grow and abound? The other thing is those people that say, well, works aren't necessary. You can say, all you have to do is just believe. And a lot of people in the world believe that and just fall on your knees, get saved, a sinner's prayer, and you're saved. Doesn't matter what else you do the rest of your life. And you can see real clearly here from the scripture that if you want to go to heaven, these things you have to have and you have to abound them. There is things you have to do. It's not just a simple mental assent that Jesus is the Christ. You have to also do what he says to do. So this is a real good refutes both, helps the Christian and refutes the false doctrine.
You know, Paul talked about the fact near the end of his life when he was writing to Timothy that I fought the good fight, I've, done all these things, I've run the race. It's interesting, I was in the high school class teaching through this, and one of the comments was made by one of the students that whenever you look at these different characteristics or attributes, if you will, they're talking about adding to your faith. It's not something that just happens over the night, in the blink of an eye, just all of a sudden you have it. This is something that takes time. And so whenever you look at these things, and you see that throughout Scripture, this is something that you are going to be working towards till the end, is the point. You're going to be doing this all the time, being diligent to add these things throughout your life. It's not just going to be a, hey, I'm 30 and now I have it. I forgot who up. Matt?
That's all right.
Do I have to? Steve's going to shake his head. So before I look at him, and he does. Matt, I'm going to start with you next time. I'm right to see your name's right here, Matt, and I'll know what that means. Dale has been asked to lead the closing prayer. Thank you for the comments, guys. We're going to continue with this. We won't go on to 2 Peter 2 at all next time. So just be prepared for the rest of this. We'll start with Matt, and then we'll continue on. Go ahead, Dale.